Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for February 14th, 2022, Valentine's Day. Yay. All right, Karen, today we're talking about ecosystems. Last session, I asked you about clarifying the type of writer. Okay, you're a cash flow cat and you do writing workshops and coaching for writers of all sorts, beginning writers, people who are have written novels, the full spectrum. So I totally understand that your clientele is a wide spectrum, but I still think you can identify them in a certain way so that you're really getting at the people who want to really put their money behind this craft that they want to develop or have developed. So when you've been thinking about who you want to serve and the problem you can solve for them, what have you thought of?
Is that the same thing as ideal client?
Yeah, like ideal client. Stuff? Like, yeah, who's the writers that you want to work with? And what is the problem that you can help them with that they will put some money towards?
Let's see. I did make a list of what an ideal client would be, kind of from my perspective. And and then also a little bit about what they, kind of like a mission statement
for just me, really that would anything you have, because even if it's fragments of stuff, it's useful.
I like, it's the people that seem to be a good fit and are the most productive are writing creatively on the side, but they're moving towards more writing. They are committed to finishing projects. They're willing to revise. They're willing to be open to learn how to have access to their intuition. They're curious. I learned this the hard way, emotionally stable. Ah. They come on time. They pay. Mm-hmm. They have some kind of interesting education background, or they're worldwise in some way, and they have distinctive interests, and they will read. And something else that is more experiential for me to find out is that they're not a drain on my energy, meaning they're willing to do the work and they're focused. They don't cancel at the last second, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was thinking about you too. And the thing about your website, which for people listening, they can view it at karenkasaba.com, and that's KarenKasaba. So when I first hit your website, the visuals of your website are great. But when I first hit your website, the first thing you're displaying to me is write your story, which is your signature workshop, which is great. But when I hit your website, I don't know if I'm who you help. So I think it would be helpful if that big space was really devoted to something where you say, I help writers of all levels who are ready to commit to bringing their work into the world.
Okay.
Writers of all levels can still have the same level of seriousness and commitment to bringing their work into the world. Because there have been writers who are writing a long time. I think to me, that's what a professional writer is someone who's willing to commit to bringing their writing out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily just someone who's paid to write or someone who writes a lot. There's a commitment there. And when you've committed to something, you're willing to invest in something. So saying, this is who I work with, And if you're ready, if that's you and you're ready to invest, please explore the website or a button that says learn more. Mm-hmm. Here's how we can work together. Learn more. And, but I think that there needs to be this declaration behind who are the people that you serve, so that when I hit your website, I can be like, oh, that's me. Or, oh, well, that's not me. I'm just looking for like dabble in writing for fun, kind of that thing, which isn't bad. It's just not who you want to work with. And you can leave, then just move the write your story. You can move it below the hi, I'm Karen part. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I just want to say is that in the navigation, if I click on work with me, I'm taken to a page that has options, privates, the writing retreat, the winter departure, developmental editing. And when I click on winter departure, I don't get taken to the page where you're really talking about the masterclass.
Oh, I have to change that for spring. So that's a to-do list.
Okay. But if I click on that, I don't want to be taken to the little thing where it's just talking about how much it is and what it is, the price page. I want to be taken to your masterclass page where you're really talking.
Okay. Redirect.
About, because it's very, it's a very common pathway for someone to go, oh, work with me. Okay. What are those options? Oh, she has this thing. What's that? Mm. But I need to be taken to someplace where you explain to me what it is, instead of taking to a page where the first thing we're talking about is price. I don't even know what it is. So this, now I'm confused, and now I may abandon the website.
Okay.
Without even seeing that there's a masterclass option. And in fact, what I would do is take the masterclass option off of the nav and make work with me. If you can do this on your template, have a drop-down menu.
It doesn't do that on Squarespace.
Then I would still take masterclass off and I would have work with me. Is there a way to make the graphics smaller on the work with me, those squares, because I'd kind of like to see my options or the first thing I'm greeted with is a little list that says masterclass, privates, corporations, workshop.
Like a separate page and then?
No, just again. At the top of the page. There's nowhere where I can immediately wrap my brain around at a glance of what the options are. Can I work with you privately? Is there a group? Is there a master thing, like a signature program? And instead I have this page with these four giant, it appears to me on my screen, kind of very large squares. And I have to do a lot of reading and figuring out, okay, privates, but then there's a retreat and then there's a monthly membership thing. And then there's a thing that has no label. I can't get my brain around the ecosystem, I want a paragraph at the top of that page. Work with me. I work with people in the following four ways. And then if those can be links that take me also to the different pages, that would be great. Then you can have the graphics down below, the clickable graphics. But you're making me do a lot of work to figure out where I fit in. And people may not be willing to do that work. So group program, privates, corporations, that's for the Airbnb thing. And then you can say occasional workshops. We'll talk about the workshops, but I'm like, oh, okay. So she's got a big group program. She's got, I can do privates and I'm not a corporation. So I'm only dealing with those two. Let me check out her group program or her masterclass. Do you see how I can quickly, in this much space, a couple inches of space, rather than like the whole page? And there's, yeah. So I think that that will be helpful. And I would take, and then on the Work With Me page, if I do click on the masterclass, I go to the big page about the masterclass where you're talking all about it. And another thing is I want you to be very consistent with your labeling, because I got confused. Winter departure, your graphic says monthly membership. When I scroll over the graphic, it says writing masterclass. And that's when I was like, oh, that's what she's calling a masterclass. But then what is this masterclass? Like, call it one thing all the way through.
Right. That was a different payment plan that.
Right. We'll talk about
it. It's confusing now. I had to keep it up because it's still active.
Right.
So for the people doing it.
So that's just a few notes about your website when I was clicking through today. So when you have a thing where you're like, okay, I want to work with writers who are committed to bringing their work into the world, and that commitment requires an investment of time, energy, money, and mindset, you know, to take this seriously. You want to make sure that language is woven into everything on your site. In your private page, when you're talking about your masterclass, when you're talking about everything, it's like, this is designed for writers of any level. Like, you can be just starting out and still take yourself seriously. And you can be a writer who's been writing a long time and still hasn't yet brought your work out into the world, you know, or you can be someone who has brought your work out into the world, but not in a consistent or large and in with the consistency or the size of impact that you want to have. So you see how, and each of those things speaks to the lack of committing and probably getting some help. You know, so it's like, you want this, you're just starting out, you need some help. You've been writing a long time, but you haven't really gotten your stuff out there. You need some help. Or you've gotten your stuff out there, but it's not really consistent and it's not really having the impact you want. Yeah, you need some help. You have to keep telling people, is this you? I can help you. Do you got this problem? Yeah, I can help with that. Hold on one second. I'm looking. Yeah. So before you get to actually describing the texture of the class, which is important, it's motivational, inspirational, multidimensional, transformational, inclusive. That's all great. But I still don't know from reading your page, what problem are we solving? Are you solving the problem I have? It's great that it's going to be a great experience, but I'm not going to pay a lot of money for just an experience. I'm going to pay for an experience that addresses a problem that I'm having.
Well, maybe you can help me figure out a way to say this better, is that the vision statement that I wrote down that I'm working on is to help bring each writer's unique vision for their work into being in their authentic voice and exceed the potential they had imagined for it. And so a big piece of what I see happening is that people are writing at a level that they didn't imagine they could even achieve.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm creating a space for that and offering guidance for them to write better than they even thought they could.
Right. Okay. What you're asking me here, and I'm not trying to deny you guidance, but this is a bigger question. We're going to focus on your ecosystem.
Okay, I thought you wanted me to have that mission statement.
No.
At the top, and I'm trying to articulate it to weave that language through the whole
thing. No. I'm not saying you're wrong. Here's what I'm saying is that copywriting, crafting the language for a website that's compelling, that's clear, that addresses the problem, then excites them out about the vision that you have for them, and then leads them through a buying decision. That's just a bigger conversation. And it's so personal and it's so specific that this forum, I can dash off a tagline.
That's not what I'm asking you
right.
to do. So we're good.
Yeah. No.
But
yeah,
I'm asking you, is that solving, I'm trying to answer your question.
Is that solving the problem? That's a component that you will want to communicate to people on your website, is this vision and the fact that they don't even know what they're capable of. And maybe they've been able to pull everything they can pull out of them, but that's why you need guidance, is because it, with someone else's outside eye and experience with working with writers, that's what elevates you, elevates your craft, elevates your opinion of yourself, elevates your approach to writing. And in a group, you get other people. It's like, yeah, that's all very, very important. But someone seeking out a coach because they have a problem and you need to go, I see you. You have this problem. It's not feeling good, is it? No, it's not. Okay. Well, follow me. Let's talk about this.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what their problem is. I don't know.
I just said a problem for each of the three different levels. So go back and re-listen to that. It's like you can be, you know, a young writer who or a writer who hasn't gotten
out. Those are the problems.
Are you just starting out? Blah, blah, blah. Are you a blah, 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 and by the not so good? Are you like, yeah, you have to first let me know that you see me. Then you can paint a picture about what we're going to do together. Mm-hmm. Then you can tell me how much it's going to cost. But I don't care about any detail. I don't care about the price. I don't care about when the workshops are, how they're divided, how it's all structured. I don't even care what we're going to do together until I know you see me. Because I'm not coming here going, transform me. I need a vision. That's not why I'm at the website.
Okay.
And I want you to think about why you joined Cashflow. It was because it was like, let's talk about how to make more money. It wasn't like, and I can build your business muscles and inspire you to be this, and it will help you for the rest of your life. I know all of that's true. That's my mission. But if I don't address your reason and go, yeah, we'll totally address that problem. Not feeling confident to pay money for it. So I want you to, it helps to go back and think about what are all the things you've paid for?
Mm-hmm.
What was the thing that got you through that buying decision? And not just like, well, it sounded good, but no, but really what first caught your eye, first hear about the person, what was the next thing that was like, maybe let me check this out a little more, like really analyze your process. The process you went through to make the decision. Because that's very likely. Okay. So right now, from what I see, your ecosystem right now, you have a free thing. I just saw the free ebook, but then you mentioned you have you have the free ebook and then you have a $19 video series. Which sort of is, those are like your, hey, check me out. Right. That's great. And then you have this signature visionary writing masterclass. And you've divided it into four seasons of the year. And it's like 6 to 8 people, possibly 10, but sure, 6 to 8. Here's my question. It's fine that it's divided into seasons, like as far as you presenting the material, but why isn't it a year-long commitment of $4,000? That's what you're asking for, the price, $997, basically, without the sales. But like, why isn't it just, let's do this for a year?
I thought I would get zero people.
You can still have a payment plan. Mm-hmm. Like you can still say, oh, you can break those payments into chunks. But if you're going after, here's the thing. If you're staking your flag and going, the writers I want to work with are writers who are ready to commit to bringing their work out into the world, that's not a couple months process for anybody. That is at least a year to really do the things you're able to teach them, find their voice, find easier ways into their story, learn the whole story structure that makes it easier to get these stories out of themselves, blah, 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 blah. Also, do you only work with fiction writers?
No.
Okay. And you should say that somewhere on your website. Like, I help people, if you are writing a novel or this, or this, or this, or this, the structure I have and the tools I have apply to all of it. Because that's not clear.
Okay.
Who, like, I write this kind of thing. Could you help me with that?
Okay.
But what if it was like $4,000 and they paid $1,500 up front, and then they paid you like three other payments of like 800 and it's like 833. But you can figure, but like a chunk up front, more than a quarter to like enter the program, and then they can spread their payments out. You can even have them pay in littler chunks if you want. I would suggest you have them prepaid. I mean, everything's paid in full by the 9th month.
Okay.
And there's no refunds. And it's a buying decision, but you're having them make a buying decision 4 times a year to get that money instead of just one big all in. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it with Karen. Let's go.
So is that a solution I can implement next January, or is there a way to implement it with only 3 seasons left?
Well, here's my other question. So is this a program? You have it right now where it seems like I can join in the spring quarter or the summer. Like I don't have to start it from lesson number one, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. It has to be like, you can join this anytime. You can decide the doors open at the start of each season. But if I join the next time the doors open will be at the end of March. So I start in April, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I start in April, I either pay in full or pay the chunk of money and I begin for a year. I'm in for a year. But you have to have a seat open for me too. So someone has to be ending the year in order for there to be a seat open. So you're communicating with your audience, the doors open. Every time we start a new season, our new season starts in April. I have 2 seats available. 2 people are finishing their year.
Mm-hmm.
Here's their story of what it was like. If you want to join, now's the time. And we're going to talk about lead generation, but you are building people interested in this all year long so that every time there's a season, maybe you don't even have to announce it. You just go to your waiting list and go, okay, you've 48 hours to say yes to this. And then we're just going to go through the list. That would be ideal.
Right. That's something that's evolved.
Because right now it's like, here's the price for the season. And it breaks down into payments like this. It's just so complicated. I want this to be like, here's the price. This is, there's one payment plan. This is it. And this is the program. Because I think that, and then you're guaranteed, you know, as guaranteed as you can get with this kind of stuff, $4,000 per person. You know, so you have a $36,000 to $40,000 income with this program every year. And if you lead generate and market, you can do two of these at the same time. And then you have an $80,000 thing.
Yeah, I would need to get those people on my list.
Yes. I think the big thing about your business, and this isn't like shame on you, Karen. This is no. You've been building a lot of things. You've been creating programs. You've been doing all of that. But I think now is the time for you to spend the majority of your business time on finding new people. Where are these people who also works with these kind of writers who are really ready to commit? What other writing conferences do they go to? Where, you know, where do you need to speak? Where do you need to talk to? Where can you find the people? And that's all you're looking for. You're looking for the people who are ready to commit, who want to call themselves a professional. And by your definition of professional, it means you're orienting your life towards getting your gifts out in the world. A lot of people define professional as you're being paid for it. It's like, I don't. Christine Aller defines it as you're orienting your life and prioritizing whatever's necessary to devote your attention to the thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. And you're looking for those people. And when you talk, you have to talk about commitment. You have to talk about investment. You have to talk about, are you ready for this? How do you get ready? What are the obstacles holding you back? You know, all the mindset drama of writers is what I would encourage you. That's your marketing copy. What's all this stuff up here? Occasionally you throw out a tool, but your marketing can't just be education, because then people will think they're getting what they need. And that's what a lot of experts do. Let me just show you my expertise, all these tips and tools and tricks and things. And it's like, well, that's not encouraging to them to get what they really need. It's like you're just feeding them appetizers all the time. If you feed them appetizers all the time, they're not going to be hungry for a meal. You can't use your marketing to spoil their appetite. You use the marketing to create the appetite, to talk about how delicious dinner is going to be. So they're like, bring it. When can I eat my dinner? Yeah. Every so often you feed them a little something so they stay in the room. But that lead generation is the big missing piece.
Okay.
So I think you have more of an ecosystem. I think it's just not clearly defined on your site. Like, I'm not really being able to, like, at a glance, get what you're about. Because I think that you have the signature course, but I would just make it a year. It's a year thing. You're in it for a year. Let's go. Let's do this. Let's do a year. Then the question is, do you have something where if someone's in a group, they want some private time? Sure. Yes, you do. You have privates. Also, once I'm done with the signature course, how else can I work with you? I can definitely do a private. But then I think there's room for you just to have this ongoing every single month alumni group from the signature workshop. That's, I don't know, $60 a month, not a lot of work. But it's sort of, again, this feedback and sharing and prompts. You're not really teaching. They've gone through the course. And you can seed that group with clients who've been with you for a while. And then you start pulling people in from the course. It's just people have already invested a lot of money in you. So this is just another way for them to sort of stay in your orbit and give you some more money.
So how many times would they meet for $60 a month?
That's for you to, and I just threw out 60. It can be whatever price you want. It's up to you to decide what's the minimum, like where does the, what they need and what you're willing and able to give in your schedule meet.
Okay.
But again, these are right. The, what they're paying that $60 for, it's a $60 commitment to their work. It's not a $60 fee to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk about that. This $60 is about you keeping your butt in the seat during the month and having accountability and having a cheerleading squad and having people to share your work with and get feedback from trusted eyes and ears who understand the same vocabulary. We're all working from the same core knowledge because we've been through the signature program, been through the masterclass. That's what they're paying the $60 to remind themselves that they're professional writers.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you have to frame it of like, oh, that's what this group program is for. It's not necessarily for my advancement, but it's for my continuing working my muscles, applying all the stuff I just spent a year learning. And then your one-off workshops, when you're going to have them, you should have them right before the doors open for the enrollment for the next season. It's like, hey, workshop, come test me out. And now commit. Commit. You cannot, I love that you took this workshop, but you can't bounce around from workshop to workshop to workshop and think this is really going to impact your development as a writer. I wanted you to have a taste of me. I wanted to give you some tools. That's why I held this workshop. But the most important part of this workshop is the guidance I'm giving you right now is that you need to commit for a year to yourself and your work. And that's what I mean by an ecosystem is everything you do is very purposeful. One thing into the other. It's not an upsell. It's not a sales pitch. It's like you need this. You're a commitment to being a writer requires this. So let's do it. And once you do a year, then you can just go into the continuing group and use all these tools and, you know, have a cheerleading squad and your experience as a writer is going to be so different and so much better for being with these people. This very select group of committed writers. So it's your ecosystem isn't just your offerings, but it's also how you are consistently talking about your offerings and teaching people how they link to one another. And privates are great. Privates are for, you know, specific things and working on specific things. But again, a private every once in a while, it does not a full commitment and through line through your development make. Yeah. So teaching people to use the right thing for the right thing. Can I just join your ongoing group instead of taking the signature? No, because you just being hanging around writers without having the common language and the understanding, you won't get out of it. You'll feel out of place too. And this isn't a place for lurking. It's a place for people who everyone in that group knows they made the same commitment. So that at the same level in terms of their commitment, even though they may not be at the same level in terms of their writing experience. And that's another marketing piece. Because writers are like, well, I'm a really professional writer who's written a lot and I need to be with these people. It's like, well, not if they don't have the same commitment level. I think it, and you're just taking a stand and saying, I think it's more important that the group of writers you hang around with have the same commitment level versus the same experience level. Because fresh ears and eyes are fresh ears and eyes on your work. That would be saying like the only people who can read my articles are people who at this level. It's like, no, your articles will be read by a lot of people. So you need exposure to a lot of different eyes and ears. So breaking those kind of drama that writers have. So I think that as long as if you do one-off workshops, they're specific. They're part of the enrollment process.
Right.
And they're used to let the people you've been lead generating have a taste of you before they commit to a year with you.
Yes.
But you're not just doing one-off write workshops for like a cash grab or randomly or because you had an idea or because somebody else suggested it. If you're doing it privately for a private organization or group, that's totally fine. But if you're going to do it, and then you have this Singapore group, it's okay for you to have little private, I mean, that's not on your website. It's just happening in the background. If your schedule can accommodate that stuff and they're paying you, great. I would beg you, Karen, don't put anything on sale. This is just my opinion. With services on sale, there's a place and a time in our career to do that. There were times when I needed money and I'm like organizing on sale for a month. Like I had to do it and that's great. But that was earlier in my career. And once you are established at a certain level, I think it doesn't sit right when you're putting things on sale. The price is the price of working with you.
How's another way I did that for this workshop. How can I put a limiter so that people feel like, oh, if I don't book by today, the price will go up?
Right. I understand for workshops, you can do the early bird pricing. That's okay. I would call it early bird discount. Remove the word sale from your vocabulary. Early bird discount is fine, but your signature program and your ongoing group program and your privates, the price is the price is the price. And you have to find then, and there are other marketing incentives that you can use to like encourage people. It's better to give a bonus that goes away after a certain part than, it doesn't have to be a bonus of a session with you. It can be, but there's other things you can devise for bonus, but it's better when you're an established expert to give bonuses rather than to put things on sale. Because I really think people go to pricing and discounting because they think that's what is going to entice people. And they're like, rather than building my marketing muscle, I'll just adjust the price. It doesn't work. It's still a buying decision. And if you can't get someone through a buying decision, it doesn't really matter the price. I have a client who just sent out like 40,000 emails to his target market. And the thing he was selling was great. And for $5 and nobody basically, because he biffed the way he was presenting. He wasn't talking about their problem. He thought a $5 price was a no-brainer. It's not what moves the needle. Identifying the problem, saying you can solve it, painting the picture of what it can be, nurturing people through your leads, getting them excited about what's possible for them by working with you. Then people are like, oh, how much is it? Kind of as an afterthought. That's what you want people to be like, oh, okay, great. As long as it's not like wildly out of my thing, I can figure out a way to get that money because I'm so interested now. That's what you want them to feel before you introduce the price. The price is like neither here nor there. The price is just the price. But people who don't want to get good at the marketing think they can just futz around with the price and that's going to change everything. Yeah, it usually does not.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think your credibility is just better if you never have things on sale. Early bird discounts, yes. Bonuses that go away, sure. Okay, so clean up that stuff on your website. And then the next thing we can talk about is lead generation.
Okay.
Okay, but I hope everyone listening, there was a lot in this. Karen's business, this is what she's doing full time.
Not really. I'm a screenwriter, but anyway.
But this is your,
it's a big
side hustle. Yeah, this is your, it's a well-developed side hustle. It's not just like offering this one little thing.
Well, it's building. It takes a lot of attention to build something.
Yeah, right, right, right. That's why I want it to get to be where it generates money without you having to constantly launch things and constantly.
Right.
We're getting it there. We're dialing it in. But this, what we're talking about here, there's lots of things you can pull for everyone listening from this and apply it to even a side hustle that's just starting out. Because these are just the questions that we keep having. Even me, when I create something new, I have to go back to these questions. What is the problem? Am I addressing it? Am I really articulating it? Oh, I love your video too, by the way. Let me walk you through the course. It's lovely. You did a good job with the other additional images and your voice. You're so warm. You come across as so warm and lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's really one of your strengths. Okay. So go do that.
Okay.
Come back. Okay.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. I'm impressed by your follow through and your dedication to this.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Elizabeth or June, does anybody want to talk?
I do.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
Hi.
So just an update. I had sent an email to Leslie Kahn about doing another masterclass. They're still on Zoom and they said yes. So yes. I'm excited about that. I'm a little bit trying to figure out what I'm doing because I went on their site and some of their classes are 4 to 6 hours long on Zoom. And I just went, I can't. So when I taught there before, it was a 3-hour class. I don't think I can do a 3-hour class on Zoom. I just don't want to do that. So I'm trying to figure out my structure of how I'm going to structure the class. I'm thinking I'm maybe do 4-week class for 2 hours a week, something like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I had decided last week that I was just going to put everything aside. And I know you've got this leap year thing on your website. And I'm like, I think I don't need a leap year. I need a reset year. And I'm just going to take everything, put it totally aside, not market myself at all. If someone approaches me for a voiceover job or they approach me for coaching, fine, but I'm just going to go get a regular job. And the minute I decided that, that's when I got this email. And I also booked a fun character part this week for it was a AI voice for a commercial for this robotic fun character project. So anyway, I love that stuff. And I tend to say, I need to do all of the stuff I don't like to do instead of the fun stuff first. But it's interesting that I made this decision that I was going to put everything aside. And that's when things started opening up. So
yes.
I also went online and I'm like, this is an interesting thing. I found this inflation calculator and put my rates in and went, oh, my rates need to be raised. So I raised my rates on my website, even though I haven't had that many clients lately, but I'm like, I really love what you just said about professional doesn't mean how much you're bringing in at the moment. It's about your orientation and your mindset. And I want to work with people that are committed and serious. And so, and just with the cost of living, yeah, my rates needed to go up. So I felt good about that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm feeling a little bit more energized. Before it was just sort of like, I'll get to all this stuff once I feel like I can function better. Now I'm feeling a little bit of a lift. Yeah. So
Oh my gosh. I hope everyone is really listening to this closely and not discounting it. It's like, well, she just got lucky. Yeah. I mean, I think everything, the first root of all of our existence, let alone success, is luck. Because the fact that you have any health at all is luck. And we need our health. Health is so important. And that's luck. Yeah, you can do some things to then also, you know, retain your health and encourage your health. But there are so many things about our ability to function that's just luck. So yes, luck is the first root. But there are, or yes, and there are other things that we sometimes block in our lives and keep out, that if we just kind of surrender and try to find where things feel lighter and feel easier, that is the path to follow. It's what I'm encouraging. It's always what I'm looking at when I'm giving guidance to people. So with Karen, it's like, is finding people out in the world a challenge for you, for whatever you're offering? Yeah, it is definitely one of the challenging parts. The good news, lots of ways to find people. The bad news, lots of noise out there. But for Karen, I want this to feel, I want her to get ways that she can generate leads, have a simplified offering. When someone says yes, she's getting a chunk of money. And then there's a next place for them to go and a next place for them to go that's still within her ecosystem, so that it feels a lot easier than a complicated payment system that she has to re-explain every quarter and then blah, 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 and keep track of all that. Like, yeah. And with you, just this idea of like, oh yeah, a reset year. I'm pushing it all to the side. I'm going to receive the support that a job can give me, which lightened up your energy, which gave you this sense, I'm assuming, of more possibility and hope of like, okay, this, like, I mean, can even tell in your energy looking at you, you are just so much lighter than you've been in the last couple sessions. And it is that energetic lightness and energetic expansion. What you did is you made space in your life and in your head of just giving yourself a break from all the stuff you think you should have to do. And into that space, the universe was like, oh, hey, wouldn't this be fun? Would this be fun? You're going to lighten up a little? Oh, we could play with the lighten up. We've been waiting for you to lighten up. Like, yes, create some space. We've got ideas that you haven't even thought of before. That is a mechanism that I have seen work at my life, in many, many, many other people's lives. The minute they do this, that happens. And I saw it when I was an organizer. The minute we created this harmonious and spacious environment for them, all sorts of stuff started coming into their life. Because we just, so another thing is that that's a bold move. You, Liz, deciding that was what you were going to do, you're going to have a reset year for yourself, is a bold move. It is you really betting on yourself. And I think the energetic forces of the world, the universe, whatever you want to call it, respects that. And they're like, okay, they're just waiting for you to go first. You first, then we'll back you up. But you have to go first because we really want to know you are committed. So I think this is a great plan. And I have a feeling that this is will continue to happen. The sprinkles of, if you're just like, oh, universe, you handle my career. You handle, bring in the fun stuff. I will get consistent money so that I have some relaxation and space. And then I'm going to count on you for all the other stuff because I can't deal with that right now. I will raise my prices. So now you know I'm serious about getting committed clients. So feel free to send those my way too. It's like you're doing your stuff and then you're asking, okay, universe, I'm putting this on your to-do list. And another thing you can put on the universe's to-do list is, okay, so I'm going to get this job. Don't know what it is yet, but you're going to bring opportunities where it's easy for me to coordinate with my schedule. I'll have some sick leave I can use. I'll have some whatever and I'll make it work, but you bring me stuff that's easy to make work. So then you don't have to worry about that. People often think who are creative and who have like a side hustle that they want to do. It's like, if I'm betting on myself, that means I'm taking the chance on this thing over here, this creation, my acting career, my performing career, my coaching career. Betting on yourself can also look about, oh, I'm just going to free up my energy around this by getting a job. That's no less of a commitment to all the other stuff. Because what was great is that when those two opportunities came into your life, you had the energy to greet them instead of like, oh God, now, I want to do these, but then I have all this other stuff I have to do. And it was just like, oh yes, I would totally love to do that voice. Not a problem. I have the time. I'm super excited. This is fun.
Yeah.
It's really you betting on yourself. I just want to affirm that for you.
Thank you. I feel like for a long time, it's been this like, try harder to relax, try really hard to relax, which doesn't work. And yeah, but I feel like I tend to default to that. And it's like those doors just shut and then I'm not letting in the stuff that's like right there and ready to come in. Yeah. So yeah. And I haven't even gotten the job yet. Just the shift in mindset was great.
Yeah. Energy is luck. Then your energetic alignment, your belief that it's possible, like all that mindset stuff, which is why it's such a huge component of the abundance bound world. It's everything. Miata and I just know it's everything. Yeah. And then you take that same sort of mindset and energy towards your search for the job. I'm so curious and interested in how perfect this is going to be for me. And if it's not perfect, I will leave and find something else.
Yeah.
And this is going to be interesting and fun. And I'm looking forward to just having a new experience with this steady income for a while. I'm looking forward to it. It's great. Banish all thoughts of what this means. Make it mean that you're betting on yourself in a very powerful way. That's a good meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I'm excited.
On the rate raise. Yeah. Just those are the people you work with, period. I mean, the real big benefit of your own side business or any business is that you get to choose not to work with people you don't want to work with. Yeah. It's just one of, you know, you don't get health insurance, but you do get to choose your clients.
Well, and I did offer a discounted rate a few months ago that I sent out to a bunch of people, mm-hmm. and I didn't get much response. And the people that responded they were high maintenance people that I was like, I don't want to do this. So.
Yeah.
So learn my lesson with that.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Yeah. You're another person who there's no discounts. It is what it is, what it is. Yeah. And then your job is to speak, shine your little lighthouse light out so that your people, it's giving the message to your people. So they find you and go, ooh, she's my person. And those people aren't going to, they're just going to be like, and how much do I need to pay you? Okay. Yeah. And by the way, your people may not be ready to pay your price yet, but they'll just be like, okay, noted, I'm going to save up for that. Or noted, I'm going to come back in a year. Or noted, I can't wait to work with you. That's going to be their response. Not, oh, anywhere, money. No. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Yay. Thank you for letting us cheer with you on this, because that's important too. And I can't wait just to hear how it unfolds.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So helpful.
Yeah. And by the way, when anyone in Abundance Bound is looking for a job, you're welcome to, you know, in the open forum, just say, look, I am looking for something like this. I'm willing to work, like, give us all any question, answer all the questions we would ask. Full, part-time, how many hours a week? What's the price you won't, or the rate you won't go below? Does it need to be virtual? Does it need to be in a certain part of the state? Like, just give us all the details so we can just keep our ears open.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. If you post that, I will see it. So then I will be able to keep my ears and eyes open for you too.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. June, do you have anything?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a voice lesson at 11, so he's going to call me and I'll have to hop off for that. But I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing, Elizabeth. It's so exciting. And I'm very inspired by that. Also, Karen and Christine, as always. The thing that's coming up for me right now is this whole conversation about no sales, which I'm like, fuck yes. Like, I can so get on board. But then I'm like thinking about myself as a customer in many ways, mm-hmm. or a student or whatever. And I'm like, am I allowed to ask for one? Like, there's been cases where I'm like, well, I guess I'm running in my head, like, am I like disrespecting this entrepreneur if I'm like, hey, is there any way we can do a scholarship situation or something? So I'm like, from the other point of view, like, how do I stay in an abundance mentality, but also kind of, you know, ask all the
oh, such a good question.
Okay.
Such a great question, because I think my answer is going to surprise you.
Okay.
Oh, always ask. Always ask
okay.
for whatever you want, because sometimes you won't get it unless you ask for it. You won't always get it, but sometimes you will. I've had people ask me for all sorts of things all the time. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, they'll hit at right. I just had somebody today, and because of who she is and how we know each other and the sort, I'm like, I could do that. I could do that for you. I could do it this way for you. A lot of the times I say no, but every so often I just sort of feel like it. And I'm like, okay, because it's, you know, that for any entrepreneur, it's their own business. They're making up the rules.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is there's a difference between someone who you know in a or is referred to you, or there's some sort of connection, versus someone I don't know who's like, oh, but can I do it this way? I'm likely to say no, because I don't know who you are and
yeah,
what that's all about. Or if I'm super busy, I'm just going to be like, oh no, because I have enough in the pipeline. Like, I don't need to make any exceptions. But sometimes there's like open pockets or dry spells, and it's like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. So always ask.
Okay.
Nicely, politely, professionally, okay. And then just be prepared for a no.
Right.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Okay.
But always ask, because you you can be very, very surprised by what you get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. 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 Oh, I mean, I have been on all areas of the spectrum. I have been the person who scrubbed the toilets to help pay for her acting class because she needed a discount. Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. I'm like, is there anything I can do that you yeah. need done? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is funny though, because yeah. I do really have to go. He just called me, but I am also, as I mentioned the very first time I met you, like, I'm really trying to get out of the work trade pattern that I fall into, where I'm like, I simply cannot afford that, but I would love to do it. And the teacher, because of all the things you're saying, maybe they know me or whatever, they're like, oh, okay, well, I'd love to have you in the program. Can you help me out with this thing in exchange? And so, like, it feels so wonderful and utopian. But then I'm like, okay, but now I'm like not getting paid for. So it's like interesting that I feel like I'm just so in this like, I don't know, growing phase of like, where are the boundaries and what actually can I afford, and what is just habitual of like me trying to figure out how to make it better. It's just like a lot of like weird growing pains.
Yeah. And a lot of people have money stories that just lock them into always trying to look for the lowest price or trying to get the discount. And that's just, they have to get out of that thinking.
Yeah.
To help them graduate. And those are the people who would come to Elizabeth and be like, ah, can I please put a fee? And you're just like, okay, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go to your thing. Next time, by the way, raise your hand if you have something, if I'm in it with somebody.
Yeah.
If I see the hand raising, I know to kind of manage our time.
Okay. Will do. I really just wanted to listen in today. And then this just came up as I was listening.
Okay, great. Perfect.
But you guys are amazing. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Hey, Karen, do you want to talk about lead generation?
Sure.
Hello. Since we have some time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So I am desperate to have people find you. I think you're amazing. Oh, you're so sweet. I think you offer such good stuff. And it is difficult. And this is true for everybody, no matter how great you are and what you have to offer is so great. If you keep going back to your own list and trying to squeeze the juice out of it. And they're like, we're good. Yeah. So list building, lead generation, all that stuff is vital. That it doesn't have to be done constantly, but it has to be done consistently. Uh-huh. And you want to pull back and look at your year. And this is what's great about having a little ecosystem. And when I say ecosystem for folks listening, what I mean is you have kind of your business. This is what I meant by Karen having kind of a more advanced business. She has multiple offerings versus June, who we just heard from. And we talked about her. She's just starting. She's a cash flow kitten. So she has one offering that she's going to be doing. It's like a 3-session thing. It's just, that's it. That's it. But Karen, she has multiple things. And what we don't want is for her to just have all these random offerings that don't connect. I want a person to like get her ebook, then get her $19 thing, then take a workshop for this amount of money, $100 or so, then give her $4,000 and then stay in her writing group for another 2 years at $60 a month and do a couple privates. That, because not only because that, of course, helps Karen's business, but also because she will have a deeper impact on someone who can stay through an arc of their journey with her. It helps them and it helps her. And once she gets that person through one buying decision, which could be a workshop or the $19 ebook, they're like, oh, well, that was a good deal. So chances are the $4,000 thing is going to be a good deal too. Like their defenses to the buying decision are so much lower than if she was just like, here's this new thing. Like, yeah. So then they'll buy more and more and more, and it's an easier decision for them each and every time. So when you have this ecosystem, then you pull back and think about the whole year. And Karen's such a good example for this because her signature offering, her masterclass, is divided into the seasons, winter, spring, summertime, fall, by the quarters of the year. People can come in at any quarter, but she's going to open her doors at the beginning of each of those seasons. So that's what's called like an enrollment period. Doors are open. This is how many seats. Are you interested? Let's go. Then the doors close. And the waiting list sign goes on the website. Hey, doors open again. at the beginning of the next season, which is summer, which is this date, get on the waiting list. I'll let you know so that people can get on the waiting list. So she has four enrollment periods each year when the doors open. And that's when she's really talking intensively about this offering. Right prior to that enrollment, where she's talking about her masterclass, she can do a workshop. That's like a one-off thing. And then the weeks, that happens right before the doors open, as we said. So if doors open next in April, the enrollment for that would be at the end of March. So her workshop would maybe be at the beginning of March. So around the end of February, beginning of March, she's talking about the workshop. Then she switches gears. Mid-March through the end of March, she's talking about her masterclass. So then what is she talking about after the doors of her masterclass close? All of April and all of May, those 2 months before she'll do another workshop and then another enrollment. Mm-hmm. So during those two, now she can clearly see, these are the times of the years that I have available for lead generation. Mm-hmm. I'm not necessarily enrolling something, but I'm just generally talking about what I do with writers, who I serve, the problems, the victories. This is what's happening inside the masterclass right now. How do you get a taste of me? I've got this ebook. I've also got this video series. You can get on the waiting list. It's that kind of thing. It's, can I get a podcast interview? Can I get a speaking engagement or a little workshop engagement for a new group of writers to introduce myself? Where can I start looking for pockets of people? Now, during, even if service providers notice, this is where I should be just talking about nothing necessarily specific. What they usually do is they go very, very quiet. Don't talk to anybody about anything. Or they're just talking to their list, the list they already have, meaning the people who are already following you on social media or the people who are already on your list. I'm sending out my newsletter. I'm posting on social media. That's talking mostly to people who are already familiar with you. That's comfortable. It's easy. I send out a MailChimp newsletter. Done. Marketing. That's, keeping people aware that you're still alive, which is needed. You need to keep your list aware that you're still alive and doing your thing and sharing with them. Oh, look, this is happening, this victory, and this is what's going on inside. You should come. You should come. But what we really need to be doing during those four parts of the year where you have a couple months is new people. Who outside of my own little world, where can I bring people into my world so that then I can bring them into my programs? So what are the different things? You're looking for other people's audiences, other people who've already collected groups of writers, or groups of people that are interested in writing. Those people who already have their own audiences, I refer to as funnel people, because they can funnel people into your business. And then there's the actual individual writers, like a Facebook group with lots of writers in it. Now you're talking writer to writer to person client. Potential client versus talking to a funnel person who can then introduce you to their audience. Both are great. You want to put the emphasis on the funnel people because you can reach more potential clients through them than you can chasing one person at a time, but you want to include the one person at a time thing. So this then is about, I think the place you should start is who is already talking to writers via podcasts, via if they have a workshop that's kind of that's not, you guys aren't, you know, overlapping. And they have guests or guest speakers, or they have a Facebook group for writers and they want to go live with guests. But then also I'm thinking of who are also like serving your type of people, but not even serving them about writing. Like if there are therapists that help creatives and writers, you could contact the therapist and go, hey, I know you're doing deep work and it's so great that you're clearing away, I'm sure, some of the blockages that are preventing this person from accessing and allowing their story to come out of them. If you ever have a client that you feel, you know, would really be served by a very supportive, intimate environment to put this deep work that you guys are doing together into action with their craft, I just want to let you know I existed so that you had some place that you could feel comfortable about referring them to, either in tandem as you continued to work with them or after they've kind of, you know, done their work with you. So you're like, look, I'm not trying to infringe, you know, but I do deep work with writers on their craft. And you do deep work with writers in their minds and their hearts. So it feels very complimentary to me. So that is a way, that's like the reason you're introducing to them. And if you wrote an email that's like that, it's like an email's never, ever, ever, ever start with, this is who I am. It's always, I see you. I'm writing this to you because I know what you do. So you're saying, look, I'm reaching out to you because you work with these people and you do the deep work in the month. And they're like, oh yes, I do. Yes. Okay. So you totally know who I am. And you can mention something that's on their website. Like, oh, and I love, you know, anybody who comes from the East Coast is good with me. Cause that's where, you know, something that you would have in common from their website. It's like, whoa, she actually like looked me up online and personalized this email to me. And then after you send that email, you can follow up 2 weeks later with a little voice message that you send by email or leave on their voicemail. Just be like, hi, I just wanted to put a voice with that email. Because if your inbox looks like mine, you could be like, who is this person? And I just want to let you know I'm real and I'm not crazy or I'm not, you know, I'm real. I'm here. And I'd love to chat if you ever wanted to do that. But that can make the person go back and go, oh, well, let me go look at that email again that I put in my trash because she sounds cool. She sounds nice. Maybe I will look at that video on her website. Yeah. So it's sort of this courtship. When you're introducing yourself to funnel people, it can take a while just for their defenses to lower and for you to get their attention, but you just be a gentle reminder. I'm here. Hey, and either they'll come to you after a while or they'll hear about you because you're out there marketing yourself and they'll be like, Karen Kasaba, I think that name is a great name and it sounds familiar. I think she's been sending me emails for a couple months. Let me go check. Oh, she's cool. She's cool. That's when is when they hear about you from another person or they hear you on a podcast and like, that's the lady. Oh, she's legit. Yeah. Then all defenses are down. They're like, hey, I heard you on the podcast. You were amazing. And one of the things you can send them is, hey, by the way, I was on this podcast, in case you want to, you know, check me out, make sure I'm your type of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's just this like, hey, and it is a lead generation. It's slow and steady work, mm-hmm. but it's the work that can get you a waiting list, or the work that can add email subscribers to your list, so that when it's ready to enroll, you can fill the 3 or 4 or 2 or 1 seats that you have available. Mm-hmm. So the time you put in during those little 2-month windows that you have throughout mm-hmm. the year, it's work, but it's that makes the other work easier. And if you have a waiting list, then, and if you have 2 seats to fill and a waiting list of 20, then you don't have to do another workshop. You can skip a workshop because you can probably just fill it from the waiting list. And then when you don't have a big enough waiting list, you can have the workshop. And then, so it's going to save you time in different ways. Mm-hmm. But this, you have now, over the last year, I think that I've known you, you've really kind of like solidified, this is how I want to present my work with these writers. I want it to be a year thing. That's all in place. And you can keep refining it. Mm-hmm. But I think this is the next, and your website's gorgeous. You really up-leveled that. Your mark, you know, your newsletter looks on point. It's all beautiful. So now this is the next thing for you to turn to and commit. You just tell yourself, I am going to do lead generation for 3 years. I'm just committing to it. I'm finding new ways to do it. I would search through podcasts, growing my client list, lead generation, building my email list, like just to get and listen to podcasts, because there's lots of good little tips and ideas, YouTube videos, same thing. You don't want to get lost in it, but if you can grab a few things like, oh, I've never tried that before. Mm-hmm. That's where I get my ideas. Like, ooh, I've been listening, collecting stuff for years. Mm-hmm. And you just try things. You just try it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll get no response, and some, but that's what everybody's doing. That's what I'm doing currently. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows my caregiving thing exists, my coaching for caregiving. I am responsible for getting the word out, and yeah. I'm doing exactly what you're going to be doing. Uh-huh. How do I funnel people? How do I start talking about this? And then the thing about social media is there's, to a degree, you're talking to the people who already are like, think you're great. Some of them are on your, it's kind of like another newsletter list, sort of. Mm-hmm. But you can, new people can find you through social media. Instagram, while it's a very popular platform, it's not, their algorithm is not very robust in helping you reach new people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even let all of your followers hear what you're saying, which is, for business, ridiculous. Don't get me started. But Instagram, it's not that easy for, and it's sort of resistant to sharing you mm-hmm. with other people, but you, because it wants you to pay to be shared.
Or to buy ads.
That's why. It's like, well, pay us and we'll help you find people.
Yes.
So right now, of all of the social media, YouTube helps people find you, and TikTok helps people find you. So you might look at, if you wanted to do some sort of social media, I would have you consider little tiny short little videos about writing mm-hmm. and all the mindset drama and everything. Why don't writers write? Number one, they don't, because of this. If you want to do that, but you don't have to do that. And I think at your level, I would encourage you to first start exploring connections with funnel people. Mm-hmm. TikTok and Instagram is an example of going person to person, like potential client, potential client, potential client. I think I'd like you to see, put your effort towards funnel people first, because it, you have such experience and stature that I think people would, you know, take well to you and not begrudge you introducing yourself to them.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you can give a good interview, but you then want to make sure that when you get a podcast interview or you're writing an article or whatever you're doing, you are always weaving in this idea of commitment and investment and why you have a year program. And it can be just a mention, like one of the, I have a year long program and one of the writers in it had this breakthrough, like, oh, she has a year program. Like the other thing you might look at is writers read. So maybe instead of something visual like Instagram and TikTok, you're doing something on Medium, or you're looking at other, like, because Medium has then publishing houses, just like podcasting has podcasting platforms that then host podcasts, to see like, oh, is there anything specifically for creatives? Do they take guest posts? What kind of guest posts do you want? What have they already talked about? What can I add to that conversation that they're missing? And maybe it's through that, through posting there.
Yeah. And then how do you feel about LinkedIn?
I think LinkedIn, it's interesting. I was just thinking about that in my head. I'm like, should I talk about that? I wonder how she would think about that. What's interesting about LinkedIn is, and I don't know if you found this true with the people that you've served, but I would think there's a lot of shadow artists on LinkedIn. Are you familiar with that term from Julia Cameron?
Yes, but not in reference to LinkedIn.
Well, well, a shadow artist is someone who's not really doing their art. They're helping. They might be like, I work at a nonprofit that helps artists do things. It's like, yeah, but you also want to be a writer. You want to be doing the thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I think a lot of people in corporate jobs and stuff.
That's right. Oh, so that's good, right?
Yeah. Might have this sort, like, are you sitting at your cubicle, or are you sitting in your new at home cubicle wishing that you were sitting as you, you know, are you preparing a PowerPoint for your company wishing that you could be working on your novel? A hard feeling to have during your work day. The little scratch of your writer's soul at the inside of your heart going, hey, when are you going to make time for this? You know, like that's really pressing the bruise. And that I think it's important. It's like, hey, this hurts. You can't just cover that up, you know? And it's like, but it's hard because work takes a lot of your brain power. And then you come home or you stop or you close the computer. And the last thing you want to do is open it again to start typing. Or you just feel like you've been drained and your brain has been like hijacked to use towards your job. And there's not much left of it for your art. But we can balance that out. I've helped people find the wiggle room in their life and with my tools, help them access their muse and their artistic places inside them easier. So that you're not, because I think a lot of times you might stop work, sit for a minute on your couch and are like, I just don't have the energy to face writer's block. Yeah, but what if you had some tools that allowed you to prime yourself so that slipping into a few hours of writing was easier? You bypassed the block. Like you really want to paint the picture of, but you, the first picture you want to paint is what they're feeling right now. And then you're like, it doesn't have to be this way. Let me paint you a different picture. And you'd be surprised that momentum can be created even if you're just writing in 15-minute spurts. The part of what exhausts writers is thinking about the whole project. How am I going to get to my novel with a 9-to-5 job? It's like, well, we're going to eat that elephant one bite at a time. We're going to do it bird by bird. We're going to, you know, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting about LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at that.
Lets you write articles. They let you write blog posts.
Yeah.
And writers read. So, and you know what's more interesting for writers to read on LinkedIn is less about business and more about like, yeah, the thing they really want to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hi, consider me your muse showing up here on LinkedIn, the world mm-hmm. of business, to talk about the thing you really want to do. Mm-hmm. That might be an interesting thing for you to. So then it's about learning how LinkedIn works. Mm-hmm. Not everything about how it works, but just how you need to make it work for you, how you use hashtags or whatever to find the people.
Well, there's great support through the Actors Fund with okay. Alexandria, who teaches
okay.
a LinkedIn course.
Yeah. So what if you're like, hey, and maybe you hire her separately and just go, look, how do I do that? How do I make sure these surface.
Yeah, she's great.
Right people. Okay, great. Yeah. I think that might be very interesting because I think that you, first of all, they have money. They have a full-time job.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, this isn't something, that's the other thing. A lot of entrepreneurial courses are like 3 months and do your, that's because they're sitting around. They don't have anything else that they're doing, or they have a part-time job. So they could literally devote 3 months of their life to taking massive action towards something. But someone who has a full-time job, that's even semi-demanding. Mm-hmm. It's like, I need this slow and steady over the course of a longer amount of time. So I'm not like, I'm behind already. And that's something you talk about. The reason it's a year is because it's a little bit slower. You can integrate it more. You're not going to fall behind. You've got time. I want you to feel like you have time and space for us to find the time and space. Uh-huh. The purpose of this course is to find the time and space in your life to devote to your writing in ways that are easier so that it actually doesn't take that much time and energy. But we need a nice big container for this because you also have this job. Uh-huh. So you're talking on LinkedIn and you're just kind of like, hey, this is possible. This, I see you with your problem, but a new uh-huh. way is possible. I'm your girl. If you have $4,000. Yeah. And I would say on LinkedIn, you're talking about your masterclass. You can mention then when you have your workshop. Oh, by the way, I'm doing a workshop. So if someone's been kind of like following you around, maybe they'll do the workshop. Uh-huh. But it's this year-long thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Okay. Yeah, I think that's what I've been feeling is more of a fit. And I have a resource to get.
Yeah, so start there. Mm-hmm. And then when you get comfortable with LinkedIn and or you're like, oh no, it's not working. Mm-hmm. But you know, you have to give it a year or whatever.
Right.
But once you get comfortable with LinkedIn and you're like, oh, I have a little strategy over here that seems to be work, then you can go to somewhere else like Medium and go, okay, now how could mm-hmm. I use this platform instead of doing it all at once?
Mm-hmm. Right. One thing at a time.
But yeah, this LinkedIn thing, I thought of that too. I'm like, that might be good. They've got money and they've got unrealized money plus unrealized dreams. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. I wanted to go there for corporate bookers for the Airbnb thing, but I know those people also.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You do something for that and then you do some things for that. Mm-hmm. That might be your spot.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting.
Okay. Thanks so much, Christine.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. So the LinkedIn, that's another example of you talking to potential client, potential client, potential client. So still working some funnel people stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Thumbs
okay.
up. Off you go.
Thank you.
Take care, Karen. And bye, Elizabeth.
Thank you. This was You're so welcome. Helpful.
Oh, I'm so excited for you both. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Valentine's Day.